2 weeks ago, my mother fell and was injured terribly in this fall. She's 83 years old, and then spent a week in the hospital, and then this week I moved her to a rehab facility. And in the process, in the process of moving her, she said, you know, the third night I was in intensive care, she said, I had a dream I went to heaven. I said, no, I didn't know that. And I'm anticipating there is going to be one of these bright light stories, and that she spoke to God or saw people that from her childhood or her parents who've been dead for 30 or 40 years. And she has a brother and sister that died at 2 and 3. I'm thinking she's going to tell me that she saw one of those places. I mean, she saw one of these. And I said, well, what was it like? She said, well, I looked around, and she said, the place was a mess. And I told him, I said, you need to clean this place up. Now, you have to know my mother to think she would go to heaven and think it needed to be cleaned up. But, excuse me, but she really did. And she told me that story. Excuse me. I'm not somebody that likes to go to the grocery store. Joy doesn't like to go to the grocery store. And often our compromise is that we will go together. And then we can talk and laugh and make fun of things and make fun of people in there, you know. No, we don't make fun of people. Anyway, so we go to the grocery store, and we each kind of have things that we're supposed to get and the other one's supposed to get. And so we did that, and we go through the checkout, and we get home, and I'm kind of looking around, and I said, well, did you not get the Diet Cokes? She said, I thought you got the Diet Cokes. And I said, I bet we just left them there on the checkout counter. She said, yeah, I bet we did. She said, I bet we left them right there. And now, what are we going to do? We've paid for them and we didn't get them. And I said, well, let's just go back. And so I went back, and I got there, and the manager was right there. And I said, we got a six-pack of Coke, but we didn't get them in our bag or in our buggy. And I said, I've come to get them. And he said, well, let me look underneath the counter here, because that's where we put all the stuff. And so he's digging around underneath the counter, and he comes up and he says, I don't see it. He said, I just don't see it. I said, well, we got them. He said, well, just go back there and get another. And I said, okay. So I go back there and get another one, and I go by him, and I said, thank you very much, and left and got home. And Joy says, you know, when I... Bless you. Thank you very much. When we got home, I said, I never saw you put them in the buggy. She said, I didn't put them in the buggy. I said, I went over there and stole a six-pack of Cokes from the manager at Food Lion. And I did. Neither one of us, I mean, neither one of us got it, and neither one of us paid for it. And I went over there and challenged the man when he said he couldn't find them. Oh, yeah, I know, we got them. And so I still owe for that six-pack of Coke. I was going to wait. I've been back twice to see that manager to apologize and to pay. And I haven't seen him, and I just hope I don't forget. Now, I will tell you this, I have not... They are sitting on the floor in the cupboard, so I've not drank them yet. And until I pay for them, I won't drink them, speaking of drinking them. This morning, we... OMG. And that has become a kind of a placeholder in our culture. And maybe you text people, or... Maybe when something happens that you don't quite know how to explain, or something good, something bad, we say, oh my God. It's almost a proverb, a byword that we say. And it can also be a word of desperation when something happens and that we feel is out of control or we don't know what to do. It becomes a response. And so Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" And when I think about all of the different ways that we could talk about forsaken or abandoned, there are just numerous ways that we could talk about forsaken. We could say cut off. We could say discarded. We could say forgotten. We could say thrown away. There's all kinds of things that we could say. And most of all, it's sort of confusing to us as people as to why God at this very moment would abandon Jesus. And I thought that, why would God feel the need to abandon Jesus at this point? If Jesus is God himself and yet he feels abandoned, why would that happen? And this is the best explanation that I can give you. And I've thought about a lot of different explanations, and I don't know how many different preachers that I listened to this week in trying to decide what approach, what was it that Jesus was saying, and why did he feel that God had abandoned him, cut him off, left him, deserted him. I mean, we could go on and on and on and talk about different words, but regardless of the word that you use, Jesus felt alone, forsaken. There is this part of forsaken that is lonely, by myself, without anyone else's help. I'm just here. I've been forsaken, if you will. All of those in this one word. I want to talk for a moment about, strangely enough, bankruptcy. What is bankruptcy? Kirby, I don't have my clicker. If I could go to the next slide. What is bankruptcy? What is it in our culture what does this mean to us? First of all, it's not new to our culture. In fact, it goes all the way back to the book of Leviticus, all the way back to the book of Numbers, all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, clear in the Old Testament, is where bankruptcy is established. The purpose of bankruptcy is to give an honest debtor a new beginning in life by relieving the debtor of the debt. So if someone is in debt, if they are overwhelmed by this debt, they have the incapacity to pay, they're not able to pay, they can't pay, then there is bankruptcy. Now, here is what happens when we file bankruptcy. It means that it means that we have come to a place in our life that we have acknowledged that our debt is overwhelming us in such a way that we're no longer able to pay. I've listed 5 or 6 of the largest bankruptcies in history of America. Oddly enough, you don't see an individual, you only see companies. Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy and for $691 billion. And believe it or not, Washington Mutual was a savings and loan in Seattle that filed bankruptcy for $327 billion. And Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual were connected. In other words, Lehman Brothers held much of Washington Mutual's debt. And so when one went under, the other went under. WorldCom, of course, that was a technology company, telephones and cable and all that kind of stuff, they went under. A lot of people don't know this, but General Motors filed bankruptcy for $91 billion. Citicorp filed bankruptcy for $80 billion. Enron filed bankruptcy for $61 billion. And what it means is that their debt had become so great, they were incapable of paying the money that they owed. Now, from this point on, I want you to think of bankruptcy and sin as the same thing. And I'm not sure that we make the connection of the cross and sin quite the way that we should. But these two things are connected. The cross and Jesus dying on the cross and the sins of humanity or the debt of humanity. I thought this morning about singing the Lord's Prayer, but chose not to later. But there is a passage in there in the Old English where it says, "Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors." Or as we translate it now, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." And so you see, when we talk about debt, I want you to think sin. It's an obligation that I owe. It's an obligation. Listen, no matter how hard I work, no matter how much I want to behave, no matter how hard I try to be good, I am incapable of meeting the obligation of my sin. I want you to connect these two, overwhelmed by debt or overwhelmed by sin, an incapacity for one to meet their obligation. I'm not capable. I am not capable of redeeming my sins. I'm not capable of ever getting to the place that I can behave so well that I have no sin. I'm not capable of that. And so it's almost as if when Christ went to the cross that I was spiritually bankrupt. And this is what happens when bankruptcy occurs. First of all, no more payments to the debtors, the creditors. In other words, once I say I am bankrupt and I have filed for bankrupt, then I can make no more payments to my creditors. And I should make no attempt, listen to this, no attempt to even pay my creditors. In other words, the court will say, listen, now do not favor one creditor or debt that you owe over another. Do not pay any of these from this point on. That's what the court will say to you. That's not all. The court will say to you in bankruptcy, there is to be no more correspondence between you and the creditor. You're not to communicate with them in any way, in any form. This is now cut off, if you will. No more correspondence, no more communication. And listen to this. They also say that to your creditors. They are not to call you anymore. They are not to write you any more threatening letters. They're not to knock on your door. They're not to do any of those things. And so as I see Jesus hanging on the cross, and he says to God, "Why have you shut me out? Why can you not hear me? Or why can I not hear you? Why have you discarded me at this moment?" It is a part of the spiritual bankruptcy of our souls. This is what he says. From here on, communication goes through the court if you file bankruptcy. From this point on, all of the communication between you and your creditors is to go through the court. And every debt must be declared. In other words, you must say to the court, "This is every debt that I have, every creditor that I owe. I am telling the court this." And listen to this. As a result of that, the court absolves you of all of those debts. They're taken away. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took our spiritual bankruptcy, if you will. And in that process of taking our spiritual bankruptcy, our sin, there was no communication between he and the Father. He was alone. I think that we often think about the physical suffering that Jesus went through. I think that all of the movies that we've ever seen show Jesus being whipped. They show him being beaten. They show him dragging a cross. They show nails being driven through his hand. There is no feeling, there is no pain like the pain of being abandoned, of being forsaken, of feeling betrayed, shut out, or cut off. And this is the ultimate pain that Jesus chose to carry for us. That in this spiritual bankruptcy, that he would be the one that was cut off. He was to be the one that was to have no communication with God at this point, because he was carrying our debt, our sin, our wrong. Not just now, but for all of the sins in the future, the ones in the present, and all of those in the past, Jesus took those sins and he took this spiritual bankruptcy and intentionally cut himself off from God so that he could feel the pain of what it was to be abandoned. Everyone, somewhere, at some time, feels abandoned at some point. This is the worst pain of all. To think that you have loved, that you have cared, and that you have invested, to find yourself ignored and abandoned and forsaken. Make this connection. God loved you so much that he chose to experience not just physical pain, but the rejection of his own Father, so that you could know what it was to be so loved by him. Why have you forsaken me? Because I loved Ken this much. I loved Joy this much, that their spiritual bankruptcy is going to absolve them of the debt of their sin. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he cared. And that's how much he wants you to know this, that you matter in this way. Would you stand with me, please, and bow your heads and close your eyes? This morning, if you don't know Jesus, I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray that you could know him. I mean, he's forgiven your sins, and he wants you to accept that, to embrace that. If you have some other need and you would like for me to pray with you, who knows what that need is? It could be any of a number of things, but you would like for me to pray with you this morning. While we wait for just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I'll pray with you right here. While we wait for just a moment. Anyone, while we wait for just a moment? Thank you, Father, that we do not feel distance between you and ourselves. That we feel close to you because Jesus was willing to take this sin, this burden, this spiritual bankruptcy upon himself and pay our debt. We thank you for that. Thank you for that, Father. And for all of this, God, we will give you praise and honor and glory.